Good morning to you. I'm Veronica Rickert, sitting in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. With our guest this hour, we'll be asking the question, are Americans afraid of the out-of-doors? This on the heels of a new study which seems to indicate that Americans are going outside less and less, having interactions with the state parks and reserves. Hunting is also on the decline, and we'll be finding out, if we can, why that is and what's taking its place. That's coming up later this hour. In the meantime, this is our winter membership drive, and we have a goal this hour of $3,000 to reach. We know you can help us reach it, and I'm going to go ahead and start by bringing the phone number into the equation here at 1-800-383-9772. You can be the first one to call and support Wisconsin Public Radio this hour to say thank you to Kathleen Dunn, the regular host of this program, to Rhonda Fanning, the producer, and Carmen Jackson as well, who produce such wonderful hours each and every weekday. So the way to get going this morning, 800-383-9772. And I am joined in the studio this morning by Michael Leland. He's Wisconsin Public Radio's news director.
Good morning to you, Veronica. And good morning, all of you who listen to this program probably every day. Maybe this is sort of the day that the time of day that your day kind of gets moving. You know, the morning crunch is over, your kids are off to school, or maybe you've settled in to work at your home office. And you've got a little bit more time to sort of pay attention to what's on the radio. So you settle in and listen to Kathleen day in and day out and her guests taking a look at everything from politics to science. And, well, you know why you listen. Those are also, by the way, reasons to support this program with your phone call to 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org, because your dollars are what make it possible.
It's a simple thing to do. You'll find that once you decide to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, your pledge practically makes itself. You just call up at 1-800-383-9772. You talk to our friendly volunteers who tell you how much, you tell them how much you'd like to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio and how you'd like to do it. We really make it very easy for you now in terms of how you can use any of the major credit cards. You can make your donation all at once or with monthly installments. You might want to become a sustaining partner with an ongoing monthly gift. That would be maybe electronic funds transfer or a credit or debit card. It's a very simple thing, and maybe the hardest part is for you to decide to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, but you should, because you listen and because you love this programming. You depend on it, and we depend on you. So get us going this morning toward that $3,000 goal at 1-800-383-9772. And let's not forget the website. You can pledge there too at WPR.org.
These goals keep us on track to where we need to be by the end of the membership drive on Saturday. And we'll get there one call at a time, one individual decision at a time. And it takes all of us working together, pledging different amounts. And that's why we say that there is no unimportant amount. Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, if $5 a month works for you, that's terrific. If $3 a day, which works out to about $1,000 a year, if that fits into your budget and represents your listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, that's wonderful too. Maybe you can give at the $10 a month level and become a member at that $120 level. In addition to knowing that you've supported Wisconsin Public Radio for a year of fantastic programs, you also get the member benefit card. 2-for-1 dining opportunities at more than 250 restaurants around the state. 2 nights for the price of one at about 50 bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. Online discounts to cultural events in Wisconsin. You hear us talk about it from time to time. That comes to you automatically, the member benefit card, with a pledge of $120, $10 a month. But know that you're also supporting a service that you use, that you rely on for a better understanding of politics and science and, all kinds of things. Today we'll be talking about the outdoors and whether people are spending less time in it. And it's not because it's so cold out. This is just in general, people going outside less often. 800-383-9772, the number to call to support everything you get from Wisconsin Public Radio, or pledge online at WPR.org.
And Michael, you mentioned the fantastic programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and I just want to talk about some of the exciting things which are coming down the pipeline in terms of guests here on Kathleen Dunn's program. We are expecting Michelle Obama. We've at least made overtures to her, and she's seeing if she can fit us into her schedule this week. Coming up next hour, we'll be talking with Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, about her new book. Wisconsin Public Radio really is is the nexus for you to connect with the world. We open the door and you walk in and you can connect with Madeleine Albright. You can connect with Alan Alda. You can connect perhaps with Michelle Obama or other of the candidates who will be coming through. Wisconsin Public Radio is there for you and helps you connect. And we'd like you to connect with us this hour in the form of your pledge. We're looking for $3,000 and the phones are pretty quiet. We'd really like to get going with that so we can really chip away at that goal. Why don't you support the programming that you believe in? Support what you believe in and make the world a better place by doing so. I think you'll feel good after you become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we look forward to taking that call. Why don't you make those phones ring right now at 1-800-383-9772.
Thanks to you five individuals who've called us this hour and helped chip away at this hour's goal, about $2,300 to go. Why should you give to a radio station that's here every day, whether you give or not? Well, it's because this is the way public radio works. We get some of our budget from state and federal sources. We get some of our budget from businesses and corporations around Wisconsin. Our largest single source of income, though, is you and listeners just like you, the 40,000 people who have decided this is a service worth investing and keeping strong. All of you working together comprise about a third of our budget. We couldn't do everything we do without your help. It's that simple. Your dollars translate into the programs you hear every day. So make that decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, whether it's for the first time or maybe it's time to renew your pledge of support. Do it now. You'll count toward this hour's goal and know that you've done your part for a service that you rely on. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
And if we want to take a step back and sort of take a look at the big picture, Wisconsin Public Radio really is an expression of democracy in its truest form, because not only do we have points of view from both sides of the fence, we also let you interface with them. You can talk with the people who might share your viewpoint or who might not. And sometimes those are the most educational hours of all. Maybe someone's changed your mind. Maybe your mind has been changed after listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Or maybe you learned about something you could never have imagined without the help of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's really our gift to you, and it's an expression of democracy, which is hugely important if you look at the big picture, and it's worth supporting. Wherever you find that, it is worth supporting, and we hope you'll support Wisconsin Public Radio today with your pledge. We're looking for $3,000. We'll be going to our guest in just a couple of minutes here, so get that call in before, then you can really enjoy the program. Do give us a call this morning and support Wisconsin Public Radio. Support democracy at 1-800-383-9772.
At some point, you made a decision to make this your radio station. Whether you listen every day, maybe you listen all day, but you made a decision. It might have been conscious, it might have not have been conscious, but something caught your ear, something made you think, something taught you something. And you come back day after day because you know you're going to hear conversation and guests that you're not going to hear anywhere else, and you feel that you get a lot from it. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for coming back day after day, because by listening, you make what we do worthwhile, certainly. But by giving, by investing in this service at whatever level works for you, you make what we do possible. So be the next to call. Help us whittle down this hour's goal. About $2,200 to go now. Off to a strong start. We would love to hear from you for the first time, if you are going to be a new member, or to renew your pledge. 800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Michael Leland, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
800-383-9772 is the number to call to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio to become a member, a supporter, and a friend. 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. Taking a camping trip used to be a sure thing for a good family vacation, but a new study points to evidence that Americans have been visiting national parks and other natural reserves less and less since 1987. Hunting has also been on significant decline. The study that we'll be talking about today, the authors wonder, if we don't ever see nature, how will we learn to care about it? And our guest this hour is Patricia Zaradic, co-author with Oliver Pergams of the study Evidence for a Fundamental and Pervasive Shift Away from Nature-Based Recreation. Zaradic is a conservation ecologist at the Environmental Leadership Program. And Patricia Zaradic, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on your program.
So tell us about the study. What exactly were you looking for?
Well, we had initially in a previous paper found a decline in national park visits and found that that decline was highly correlated or highly related to the increase in internet use, video game use, home movies, things like Blockbuster and Netflix, and theater movies in theaters. And that those factors, which we call videophilia, this love of electronic media, along with the price of oil, because most people drive to national parks or around them, explain 97% of the decline. So once we published that paper, there was a number of folks who said, but that's a national park problem. It's not really, doesn't really have anything to do with our relationship to nature at large. And we thought, well, let's take a look. So we collected together three different types of evidence to look at different to look at how much people are spending time in nature. And altogether, we looked at 16 different variables, and in almost all of them, we found this decline.
So when you're talking about spending time in nature, and you specifically mentioned the national parks, what other things qualify as spending time in nature?
Yeah, we looked at three different sets of variables. So we thought, all right, we'll look at all the places that we can get information about people going to, places people go. So it was national parks, national forests, Bureau of Land Management land, and state parks. All of those we could get good numbers for visitors, often as far back as into the 1930s. And then along with that, we got license data, because most people buy fishing or hunting license, for example, right before they go out fishing or hunting, unlike maybe fishing gear, which you'll buy one year and might sit in the closet for a couple of years. So we looked at all those national sorts of data lines for fishing licenses, hunting licenses, and duck hunting. And then the third set of data we used was the federal government puts out every year something called the Statistical Abstracts of the United States, and it collects all kinds of marketing survey data, surveys that have been asked of the general American public at large. So that's folks calling around the U.S. population and saying, have you gone out fishing? Have you gone actually camping? Have you gone out camping? Have you gone out backpacking in the last year? So now we are, that's a way of actually getting to the American public and asking, have you gone out, maybe not in the national forest, but camping someplace else? And even that set of data, basically folks were saying they've gone out camping less and less every year.
Well, speaking of hiking or backpacking, that is one silver lining, right? There, the number
right.
of people hiking is growing instead of shrinking.
Yes, that's the one variable that gives us a little ray of hope that, it does look like more people are, that backpacking, hiking is on the rise. The only thing is that's something that people do much less than some of the other visitation, like fishing is way more popular, camping also way more popular. For example, state parks, which is the way that we can track that most people get out into nature, is 500 times more popular than hiking or backpacking. And the rise in hiking backpacking was from 20 years ago, on average, the American public would go out once every 12 and a half years, and now that's up to once every 10 years. So it's not a dramatic enough rise to make up for the loss in all the other variables.
How would you express what is being lost by this sort of reluctance to go out in nature and by replacing nature-based recreation, going to a state park, going to a national forest? What is being lost when we do things inside, maybe on a computer instead of that?
Okay, well, there's a couple of things. One is relating most directly to conservation and our being good stewards of the environment, which we rely on for things like clean air and clean water and food. There's been a number of studies that show that our relationship to nature and our understanding of the environment, our affinity for the environment, has a lot to do with our exposure to it, particularly as children. So if we don't get out into nature, and since this is a 20-year trend, if now the parents of the next generation of children, are used to not being out in nature as recreation, then we're likely to lose that connection that makes us good stewards of our environment. And that's going to have repercussions for us health-wise in all sorts of areas if we're not paying attention to the footprint that we leave in our natural environment. The other aspect of it is there are some direct health benefits to being out in nature, as opposed to becoming a very sedentary population. There's the whole rise in obesity. There's all the health, detrimental health aspects related to being a sedentary population. And then there's all kinds of studies that show that being outside, being active, is also good for you in general, good for your physiology and good for your mental state.
So we don't know for sure. You have an idea, at least, about what people are replacing with going outside. But why do you think that people are choosing not to go out into nature? Do you have any idea?
Well, we have a couple of ideas. I mean, there's certainly we have this huge attraction to this new technology. And for whatever reason, perhaps because it can be so much more personalized, your, you know, internet use, for example, TV didn't have that kind of impact when, you know, TV came out. So before this 1987, mid-1980s decline, all these visitations to national parks and state parks had been on the rise for 50 years. And that's a long time, and a lot of things happened over the course of that time, you know, recession and World War II and, you know, and yet all, and TV, for example, and yet people continued to be more and more fascinated with nature for a long time until we got to the internet and video games. So there's something about that form of entertainment that's very seductive to us. And then at the same time, more recently, there's been a lot of discussion about fear and fear of the different dangers that we perceive in our outside world, the reasons that parents talk about for not sort of just letting their kids run around out in the neighborhood the way maybe they used to in the 50s and 60s. So, and it's hard to tell whether that fear is driven from, it actually drives the reduction in being outside, or now that we're not outside, we're more susceptible to the stories that we hear about the dangers of the outside.
We're talking this hour with Patricia Zaradic, co-author of the study, Evidence for a Fundamental and Pervasive Shift Away from Nature-Based Recreation. She's talking about how people are not going into the out-of-doors, the state parks, the national forests, the way they used to. Instead, it seems that perhaps people are sitting inside at the computer. Well, what about you? Are you still going out and utilizing the state parks, the national parks, the forests? Are you introducing your kids to the joys of the out-of-doors, taking them camping, or are you deciding to do other things instead? We'd love to hear what you're doing and how you're still interacting with nature or not. You can join in the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of great stuff still to come today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. At 12:30, join us for Chapter a Day. At 12:30 on Chapter, Jim Fleming reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic by Joseph J. Ellis. Veronica Rickert, back with you today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And this hour, we're wondering if you're still going out of doors, if you're taking your kids outside to the parks, or if you've noticed a trend, maybe within your own family, to stay inside, maybe hang out, watch movies, play on the internet. And are you happy with the shift or not? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. We're talking with Patricia Zaradic. She is one of the co-authors of the study we're talking about this morning, and is a conservation ecologist for the Environmental Leadership Program. And Patricia Zaradic, when I was a kid, I remember I used to be kind of reluctant to get out into nature. My mother, though, was an avid bird watcher and used to drag me on owling trips at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And I kind of thought at the time that it was awful, but now I'm so grateful that she did. Now I almost consider myself a bird watcher, and definitely love the out of doors. But she did have to put a bit of effort into that. Is that something that parents maybe are more reluctant to do now than they would have been?
Yep, exactly. I think that's quite true. I remember my mom, you know, telling us to get the heck out of the house and go play outside and turn off the TV. And, you know, I think parents are a little more reluctant to do that now for a couple different reasons, you know, one of which may even be that we just underestimate, I'm a parent myself, the value of having your kids go outside and play I mean, sometimes the internet seems like such an incredible resource, you know, between the, like, Discovery Channel programming on TV and on the internet and all these other sorts of great information sources that you can find. I think parents can think, wow, what can I offer outside compared to this incredible resource? But it's sort of like the difference between looking at an encyclopedia and then having a real experience with something, or watching a sports program or playing sports. You know, you will get so much more out of the experience of really interacting with nature, even if it's in your backyard. There's so much information. We as people and little people, kids, are great filters, and we draw so much from the world around us, much more than anyone can explain to us in a program. So I think we just underestimate the benefit for our own kids.
And in terms of fear, you know, reading your study and the articles about it, I was reminded of a local naturalist here in Wisconsin who leads children and, you know, adults sometimes too, but speaking of the time she led children through the woods in our local arboretums, and she told me that some of the children who are especially based in the city, they would go into the woods, you know, on these class field trips, and they were actually afraid of trees. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, we've heard stories like that about, you know, kids, especially from urban environments who haven't had exposure to nature, not necessarily having a great experience once they get out there, because it is so new and so strange, and it takes some getting used to. I remember when I grew up in New York City, and when I moved out to Pennsylvania for the first time, lived in a place with no streetlights, I was shocked at how dark it got at night.
there's a whole different kind of dark, you know, out of the country.
It is. And, you know, I mean, once I got used to it, I loved it. Look at all the stars you can see and how quiet it is. But it does take some getting used to. And I think that's why we can't rely on just the occasional field trip or something to give our kids the exposure that they need to really have this understanding and affinity for our natural world.
Well, she really guided them through it. And the silver lining on the story, though, is at the end of this trip, she had these children hugging trees and saying to the trees, I love you. So maybe it's sometimes it takes a special guide to bridge these gaps.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think, you know, in a number of the studies that we've looked at, having a mentor out in nature with a child, introducing them to that environment and explaining some of that information. Trees aren't scary, you know, they filter the air, they're good for us. And I think that does make a big difference. And that's where I would really suggest that parents go out with their kids and use that as an opportunity for, you know, quality time together and exercise together and bonding. There's so much more relating that you can do without the electronic background that we often find ourselves in.
Well, let's get the callers in on this. Here's a call from Barbara in Spring Green. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi, I was so interested to read of this study because I spend summers working for the National Park Service in a backcountry place in Alaska, and I've noticed several changes, and I've wondered about whether people are substituting sort of cyber nature, you know, all the wonderful Discovery Channel stuff, for being in nature, and I wondered if your study looked at that at all.
Well, that's a great question. We are actually really interested in that because there is a huge movement to do that. Even, you know, some of the programs suggested by folks such as Secretary of the Interior Dirk Kempthorne have had to do with this virtual nature approach to getting people interested in nature. Well, we would suggest from the research that we've reviewed on how people bond with nature, that real nature is way, way, way more impactful in generating that affinity for real living things than something on a virtual screen. But I do think that people underestimate the importance of having that real contact. And I think part of that is because a lot of us who are parents at this point grew up with some kind of background of real contact with nature, so that when we see the virtual shows, we have that context of, you know, real grass under our feet, holding real, you know, frog or earthworm or something, to place that thing that we're watching on the flat screen into. But for some kids who are growing up now, their primary contact with the natural world will be virtual. And there is definitely something missing in that experience, at least as far as we can tell from the work that's been done so far.
I wonder if there's any way, if for some children that's the only option, if there'll be new sorts of explorations in terms of media as to how to get as close as possible to hugging a tree.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a place for it. I think you just need to have a balance. You know, there's things that you can see in virtual that you'll probably never get to see in real. You know, I'm unlikely to get to the bottom of the ocean, but I may be able to see it through a virtual, get a taste of it through a virtual experience through a webcam or something. I probably will never get to be in an eagle's nest, you know, watching the eagle feed its young, but I can get that experience probably virtually through some kind of webcam or something. But we have to remember that it's really just a taste of the real experience, that it's not a replacement of. So there needs to be some kind of real contact with a living thing to build that affinity with, you know, an understanding of how nature is interconnected, or our relative size to the Grand Canyon or something, or our footprint, you know, when we see a clear cut or when we see, you know, stuff washed up on the beach. So,
well, thanks a lot for that call, Barbara. And we'll take one now from Gary in Lake Geneva. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
My family and I relocated to Lake Geneva from Phoenix last year, and we are just amazed by the plethora of opportunities to be outside. We've taken the boys fishing and canoeing, kayaking. I'm on my way to go cross-country skiing now, and it just seems like there's so many things that you can do here that outdoors that we didn't have the opportunity to do in Phoenix. So we're happy to be here.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Some great powder on the ground for you this morning for skiing, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You're brave soul. It's cold out there, too, so you're hardcore. That's great.
It's been a lot colder.
There's definitely a trend towards more and more urbanization and cities, you know, with a lot of urban sprawl. So it's important. It's going to be more challenging for us, I think, to reach out to those populations that are in that kind of urban sprawl area that may not even realize what nature there is to have access to. So, you know, it's if you're in a place like Lake Geneva, as you said, where you have opportunity sort of presented around you, it might be a little easier to be aware of what you can get to as opposed to being in Phoenix.
Well, what if you are in Phoenix or someplace like that? What are some things you could do to connect no matter where you are?
Well, there's a lot of urban areas do have set aside land that's more wild, different kinds of local parks. And we, for example, couldn't get data on local parks because there's not usually anyone there counting, you know, visitors. But there's definitely benefits to doing that, to taking your family out to the local park, to going for walks. There's a lot of movement in different areas to do sort of a rails to trails and create different opportunities to create trail green spaces in and around urban areas. And certainly, if any kind of initiative like that is possible in your own area, I would, you know, tell folks to take the opportunity to promote that, that access to green space.
Well, thanks so much for that call, Gary. And we'll go on now to Ernie in New Richmond. Hi, Ernie, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much for this this program. You know, it's really really a necessary thing we should really focus a little bit more on for all of us to participate in our outdoor adventures. One thing I'd like to comment on here, a couple things, is, and again, thank you, the people that had spoke earlier, appreciate their efforts in getting outdoors and helping, making sure that our children have that opportunity. But, you know, even more importantly, it's right here for us. The state of Wisconsin offers a great deal of programs, a great deal of outdoor adventures. Our local state, our U.S. Fish and Wildlife, our DNR, a lot of good people putting a lot of effort into open the doors for people to gather, to come out and see what's available, what's going on in our wildlife areas. So, you know, I guess that was one of my comments I wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there is a book I would like to mention, which was actually recommended through this station for myself, and I have been reading it, a wonderful book. It's called Last Child in the Woods. The author's name is Richard Louv, L-O-U-V. Wonderful book.
Right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful book to read. Brings a lot of things into light. But, you know, again, I'll take my comments off the air. But, you know, for all of us, it's really a responsibility for all of us to take our families and give them the opportunity to see what's available in our wildlife, to let them experience some real exciting times. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ernie. And that book, Last Child in the Woods, that's actually sort of spawned, or the author is trying to spawn a bit of a movement there to get kids back out connecting with nature.
Right.
Are you familiar with him?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're part of the Children and Nature Network, which was started by Richard Louv, the author of that book. And we also spoke at, I and my co-author spoke at something called the National Dialogue on Children and Nature that occurred in the fall of 2006. And that was where we heard, for example, Dirk Kempthorne's point of view, the Secretary of the Interior's point of view also on reaching out. And I think the caller was right on in saying that really it's all of our responsibility together to turn this thing around. Now that we've seen that there's this decline and how widespread it is, to start looking at what are all the various reasons that we're maybe staying inside and how we've underestimated the value of being out in those natural areas and the excitement and the well-being and the health benefits and the conservation benefits long-term that can provide. I know I myself have gone to Devil's Lake State Park in Wisconsin, and it's a wonderful nature area right there, and the dramatic cliffs and the lake, and it's beautiful. And that's not even very far from Chicago and some of the other metropolitan areas. So, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to be had in that area.
Well, for people who want to start reengaging with the natural world and maybe who have children, what are one or two just simple things that they can do to get started?
Well, I would encourage including some kind of nature aspect into your vacations when you do take vacations. And then more locally, I would encourage getting out into the parks with your kids. And at the very local level, getting out into the backyard and encouraging your kids to go out there and, you know, maybe have a bird feeder and notice what local wildlife there is right outside your window. Maybe plant a garden, because even if it's a controlled nature environment, it will have you notice what else is living in the soil or on the plants, what's eating the plants you've planted. You know, just different ways of starting to think about the interconnectedness of the natural world that we see outside at all different levels.
Yeah, there is a lot to be found in your backyard. I remember, I think it was just last summer, some friends of ours, we went over to their house, and they had collected maybe 4 monarch caterpillars and just put them on their table. And as long as they give them the leaf, the stalk to sit on, they formed the chrysalis and became butterflies right on these people's dining room table. And then they released them out into the wild, and it seemed pretty miraculous.
Yeah, that is pretty miraculous. And you can often find, you know, tadpoles in some of the most innocuous puddles and, you know, in the springtime. And those are really fun to watch, the process of those turning into frogs. And some of them, you know, if it's in a puddle that's going to dry up anyway, you could bring them inside and put them in a, you know, a big bowl and have a temporary terrarium to watch the process inside, too. So, yeah, there's all kinds of different opportunities that are right under our noses in our own backyard that we can, you know, take advantage of to get in touch with the living organisms in the living world.
Talking This Hour with Patricia Zaradic. She is a co-author of the study we're talking about this hour, saying that people are getting out into nature less and less. Hiking is one thing people are doing a bit more of, but in terms of getting out to the natural, the state parks, the national parks, hunting and fishing, those things are all on the decline. So we're asking this hour why that is and how to reconnect with the natural world. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll probably have time for one or two more calls. So why don't you try to join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickard, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Still to come today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 11, black-capped chickadees and cardinals are among the birds most commonly seen this time of year. After 11 o'clock, Larry Mueller talks about the birds of winter with Laura Erickson, science editor at the Cornell Ornithology Lab in Ithaca, New York. Talking winter birds after 11 o'clock here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're talking this hour with Patricia Zaradic, conservation ecologist at the Environmental Leadership Program, about a new study that says people are not going out of doors as much. And Patricia, let's take one more call now. This is Anne in Kenosha. Hi, Anne, you're on the air.
Hi, Anne.
Anne, are you with us?
Hi,
Anne, do we have you?
About
There she is.
Am I there?
Yes. Now,
okay,
could you start over?
You mentioned at the top of the hour about are people afraid. And I think they are afraid, and I think the media makes them afraid. Every spring, all over the morning talk shows on the television or the morning news programs or whatever, there's a lot of talk about sunscreen and skin cancer and Lyme disease and West Nile virus and you name
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
You know, and bear attacks. and I have to admit, we go camping a lot, but I'm a lot more comfortable camping in Wisconsin where I know the terrain. When we went down to Missouri over spring break last year and were in the mountains, I was really worried about poisonous snakes because that's something I don't ordinarily have to look out for very much here in Wisconsin. You know, a friend of mine, they went out to the Black Hills and almost got run over by a buffalo because they were on the wrong trail and didn't know what they were doing. And I think it's hard to make yourself go be in nature if it's a nature you're not familiar with or if you're not educated about how to safely be in that nature. And so when you combine that with the media making you afraid to be there in the first place, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you're right, Anne. Wisconsin is a pretty benign place to interface with nature. But what about, Patricia Zaradic, do you have some words of comfort for people who are a little bit tentative because of things like Anne just talked about?
Right, yeah. Definitely what she said is right, that the media does play up the dangers of nature. I mean, it certainly makes for a lot more exciting programming to say, oh, no, you know, this terrible bear bite or something, as opposed to saying, oh, bears are benign, you know, and you probably won't even see one. But, yeah, it's hard to tell how much of the fear factor comes from our unfamiliarity with nature, too. Like you said, you feel comfortable with the Wisconsin area woods because it's something that you go into frequently. So when you hear about, you know, bears or West Nile or Lyme, you can put it into perspective of, oh, yeah, you know, that happens, but your chance of actually encountering a bear isn't that high, and the chance of anything happening, even if you might happen to see a bear, is even lower than that. So it's kind of like compared to driving, for example. Driving is quite dangerous. You're much more likely to get into a car accident than you are to have anything happen to you with a bear. But we drive all the time. And partly because we drive all the time, we can put that information that we get about car accidents into perspective, knowing most people get to work safely every day. So getting out into nature more, maybe starting locally at your local parks and locally at your local woods and getting more comfortable will probably help put that kind of fear more at rest. And also knowing the facts, you know, if we can, I think part of what as national outreach programs start to gear up, part of the information that has to get out there is the really low incidence and the really low likelihood of some of those dangers occurring. You know, and yeah, when you go to some area that you're really unfamiliar with, you do have to get some information about what you need to keep an eye out for. And usually, you know, the rangers or the local natural environmental centers that you're starting your hike from we'll have some of that information for you. Just as in any unfamiliar situation, it's good to get some information about, you know, where to go and where not to go. But, yeah, maybe just start local and then move into more unfamiliar territory from there.
All right. Thanks a lot for that call, Anne. And we'll take one last call now. This is Camille in La Crosse. Hey, Camille, you're on the air.
Hi there. I like to go camping, and my father took us camping all the time. And we would probably go every weekend in the summertime up to a state park or something, but we just don't have the time anymore. With the jobs the way they are, and it seems like companies are a lot less flexible with giving people time off or leaving early on Friday. I mean, we only get 10 vacation days a year, and that's hard to cram in stuff.
Thanks for the call, Camille. And what do you think, Patricia Zeredek? Is that a problem? Are people so crunched for time that they just can't get out?
Right. Well, we did look at a couple of factors just like that when we were doing our first paper looking at the decline in national park visits. And we looked at number of vacation days, for example, and how that's changed. And while they haven't increased very much, they also don't seem to have decreased related to this decline. So it doesn't seem like the lack of vacation days is something that's causing the decline in nature. But it could be, you know, some factor could be related to maybe that there's now two parents working in a common household. Although, again, from 1987, you know, that was probably somewhat true at that time, too. It's certainly not as much true in the 50s. But I think that, you know, there's definitely factors like that that we could still look at. But the fact that the decline is occurring all throughout the U.S., and then we're also seeing it in Japan, for example, which is a very highly technological country that uses its parks in similar ways that we do, but it's also having the impact of the Internet and video games and other electronic technology in the same way that we do. They're seeing at least as much of the same decline as we are at about the same time, suggests that the main driver really is our change in what we choose to do for fun, having it be much more sedentary and electronic-driven than outdoor-driven.
Well, Patricia Zeredek, I wish you happy trails, and here's hoping that you've convinced a lot of other folks to hit the trails, too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Patricia Zeredek. She is a conservation ecologist at the Environmental Leadership Program, talking about a new study which suggests that people are going out into the great outdoors less and less. So we thank her for her time this morning. And we thank you for your calls of support of Wisconsin Public Radio this hour. We have heard from 13 of you, three of whom are new members, so thank you so much for those calls. We are looking for $3,000 in this winter, this hour of the winter membership drive, and we're about halfway there. So 10 minutes left to go in the hour. We can do it with your help at 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge on the web at WPR.org. Michael Leland in the studio with me. Michael Leland, our news director. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Thank you for coming back.
Sure. Happy to be here and happy to have been listening to this conversation for the last 35 minutes or so and thinking about, just all the things that I love about Wisconsin. And that's the opportunity to be outside and take advantage of the state's natural beauty and areas. And many of you probably do as well. And there's a pretty good chance you probably take Wisconsin Public Radio along with you for at least part of that trip. And we're happy to keep you company. We're happy to share ideas with you and everything else that we're able to do for you here at Wisconsin Public Radio. But it's possible. It's been possible for years and will continue to be possible only because so many of you have decided that it's worth supporting with your dollars. We ask you to please be the next to call. Help us toward this hour's goal. We're about halfway there, which is great, but we've only got 8 minutes to do the other half. So $1,500 to go in the next 8 minutes. We'll get there one call at a time to 800-383-9772, one online pledge at a time at WPR.org. But we ask you to do your part in this hour.
Patricia Zaradek really made me want to go outside. It's winter, and winter activities sometimes require more effort, but sledding and skiing and looking forward to the summer. If she made you want to go outside, too, want to embrace the natural world, maybe that's worth a pledge this morning to Wisconsin Public Radio. Or maybe you heard a piece of music that you haven't been able to get out of your head. Maybe you heard a new idea and you just had to read more about it. Maybe you decided to buy organic food or to buy locally because of programs you've heard on Wisconsin Public Radio. Think about how Wisconsin Public Radio has informed you and decided and helped you decide to change your life a little bit. That's an invaluable thing for Wisconsin Public Radio to do, and it's invaluable for you this morning to support us with your pledge of financial support. You can do it. We only have 8 minutes left to go in the hour, and we really love to make that goal of 3,000. You can do it and help us get there by calling 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Pledge there as well. And Rhonda Fanning is back from the production booth. She was talking to our guest, and she's now here in the studio with us. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning. I was also talking to a lot of callers. There were so many people that didn't get on last hour, but I'm sure this topic will come up again and again. But like you were saying, everyone has a laundry list of why they listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, either to educate themselves, to inform, to become a part of some terrific discussions that we have here. But please put on your list of things to do today to call in and pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do it in two easy ways. Either call in at 800-383-9772, take a few minutes to talk to one of our wonderful volunteers, or you can log on to WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772 is that number to call. And Kathleen Dunn and Rhonda Fanning, Carmen Jackson, they really cover the world of ideas. And we had that hour about the out-of-doors. Next hour, we'll be talking with Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State. Just the breadth of that actually kind of takes my breath away in terms of how broad Wisconsin Public Radio's focus is. We really travel the globe searching for the most interesting, thought-provoking things to tell you about. And we want to hear what you think about them, too. That's valuable to you. That's why you listen. You enjoy listening. Kind of a form of infotainment. It's informative and entertaining at the same time, which is a great way to go. We know you appreciate that, and we appreciate your call this morning as we go for $3,000. We're halfway there, so please make that phone call and help push us over the edge toward $3,000 at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online, WPR.org.
Thinking about the fact that Madeleine Albright is on next hour, and the people that I've heard on these programs, whether it's the Kathleen Dunn program or Joy Cardine in the morning, and the people that I've learned so much from, and political experts, and everyone who ends up on these programs, that doesn't just happen. You don't just pick up the phone and there are producers like Rhonda and so many others here at Wisconsin Public Radio who work hard to line up those guests and research topics and try to bring you some of the most engaging, informative radio we possibly can. And we're committed to doing that. We're committed to continuing that tradition. But know that it's your dollars that make it possible. You and the thousands of others who've made a decision to support this service make everything you hear possible. Give us a call now. Be the next to call. Help us whittle down this hour's goal, about $1,500 to go. We'll get there one call at a time at 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
We've got a lot of ways you can choose to make your pledge. We accept all of the major credit cards. You could become a sustaining partner with an ongoing monthly gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. You could do it with your credit card or an electronic funds transfer. Or if you'd like, we'll send you a reminder in the mail, and you can pay us then when it's convenient for you. Whatever you decide, do decide to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't important, and we wouldn't be here if our need wasn't real. We do need to pay the bills, and you've been helping us do it. Our budget is paid for by listeners like you. So won't you help us and take the time to support what you believe in? We're really grateful for all of your calls at 1-800-383-9772. Only 4 minutes left to go in the hour.
And for a pledge of $120, you can get yourself the WPR membership card, which allows you to get 2-for-1 entrees at restaurants throughout the state of Wisconsin, 2-for-1 nights in bed and breakfasts or cultural events throughout the state. $120 this hour will get you that membership card. All it takes is a simple phone call to 800-383-9772, or you can log on to WPR.org, and just takes a few minutes to pledge online.
It really is a community effort. The merchants, the bed and breakfast, the restaurants who participate in this member benefit card doing their part to help support Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll talk to you about membership and some of the reasons that that you should give. I think you've got that part down already. You know what you get from the service, and you understand that it's listener-supported, and you understand that we are as successful as we are because so many of you have invested in Wisconsin Public Radio. But the last part of that equation is you making that decision to renew your pledge of support. Maybe it's time to renew the pledge you made last year. Maybe it's time for you to become a member for the first time. Maybe you've been listening for, a few weeks, or maybe it's been a few years. But it's time for you to take that extra step from being a listener to being a supporting member. You do that by going to the phone and calling us at 800-383-9772 or by pledging online at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772, the number to call. And just a couple of minutes left to go in this hour. You can, of course, call through the news, and your contribution will be counted towards this hour if you can't get through. But do seize the moment, seize the day, and say thank you for the programming you've heard on Wisconsin Public Radio, just as we thank you. Really, we do thank you for 13 of you who have called this hour, three of whom are new members. We really do thank you for that, and thank to Dan in Appleton, who has said, "I like talk radio and the ideas that are constantly coming. I live by ideas," says Dan. That's you too. That's why you're listening now, and we thank you for your call of support this morning at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. And Michael Leland and Rhonda Fanning, thank you both so much for being in here to talk this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
$3,000 the goal, and we are about 1,500 of the way there. You can still get in your call this morning and say thank you for the great hour on the out-of-doors and for Madeline Albright coming up next hour and all of Kathleen Dunn's programming throughout the year. 1-800-383-9772 is the number to call. I want to thank Rhonda Fanning, Carmen Jackson for their help with production this week. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.